Okay.
Great. All right, our first speaker of today that's not an organizer will be David, and he's going to tell us about his project, Fafuti. And as you'll probably notice, or you'll know already, that basically every quantum project has to have a Q in the name, and this one is no different.
Otherwise, we lose our license to do quantum computing. So.
And he'll be telling us about compiling to not just analog computers, but analog quantum computers.
So, hi, I'm David. I'm a little bit scared because there are way more people than I expected. Plus, I'm speaking first, and I was hoping to have the opportunity to learn many things from other people who spoke before me. So, yeah. And I'm here to tell you about Clafouti. So Clafouti is an ongoing experiment, more details in a second. I work for Pascal. Pascal is a hardware company that builds and deploys QPUs. We are based in France. We have offices all over the world. And we also make open source software for tools, programming languages, libraries, etc. We're pretty good at it, hopefully. Remind me to tell you that we have a community portal, and we are launching it in a few days. As for me, hi, I'm officially the open source coordinator at Pascal, which means that I get to work on many libraries on topics that I do not necessarily understand. Lots of fun. Oh, no, sorry, actually, it is lots of fun. But as a background, I'm not a quantum computing guy, which is one of more reason where I'm completely afraid and scared that I'm going to make a fool of myself. That, and I forgot to remove my mask. I'm a system guy, a system programming, a distributed programming, and a compiler guy. So I've been contributing to open source for 20 plus years. I have left a few tracks in a few programming languages, protocols, and open source software. I am going to tell you about some quantum computing things. Hopefully, I'm going to change the way you view some problems. I'm not going to introduce you to new quantum concepts if you are already familiar with quantum computing. So what is this all about? It's about Clafouti. It's an early stage experiment. It's about compiling, and it's about some of the lessons learned trying to develop this compiler for analog quantum computing architectures, which means that I will need to talk about quantum computing at some point. Oh, I think I'm in the right room for that. So say hello to the Ising Hamiltonian. Thank you. there are plenty of ways to look at what quantum computing, including many ways I've not been exposed to, but that's the way I look at it at the moment. This is a pretty large matrix. If you have n qubits, this is a 2 to the power of n squared matrix, and it has very interesting properties. The main interesting property, as far as I'm concerned for this presentation, is that on a classical computer, most of the interesting operations, well, pretty much all of the interesting operations on this matrix, have a time cost that is at least exponential in the number of qubits, which means that too many qubits, your computer just cannot execute them. On a quantum computer, many operations, not all of them, have a time cost that is polynomial in the number of qubits, probabilistically. Which means that if you have a problem that you can quickly and realistically encode as this kind of matrix, you have the ability to run it theoretically much faster on a quantum computer than on a classical computer, at least if your number n is large. That is the promise of quantum computing, one of them, but that's the one I'm interested in at the moment, and that's why quantum computing might change the world. So there are two religions, two schools of thought, at least, on quantum computing. One of them is the digital one. All the illustrations on the previous presentation were about digital quantum computing. So you have this big matrix, and you tame it by turning it into gates, gates that are simple transformations. I'm a compiler guy. I see those gates. I see, that's what we call an intermediate representation. When you compile, you start with source code. At some point, you end up with machine code. These gates are one way to simplify the work. So an intermediate representation between this surface level language and this machine language. If you have been following a little bit the actuality about quantum computing, there have been many, well, a huge number of claims, but quite a few interesting discoveries related to gates recently. But one of the difficulties with gates is we're still in this noisy intermediate state quantum stage at the moment. Not all of these hypotheses have been proven yet in practice. There is the hypothesis that quantum gates are good for logical or integer related algorithms and possibly not good for other applications. Again, it's a possibility, it's a hypothesis. And then you have the other school, which is analog quantum computing, in which basically instead of going to the gates, you embrace the fact that everything is noisy, that you have this big weird matrix, and you go for this matrix. So you have way fewer hypotheses, but you have a weirder system to deal with. And there is the hypothesis that maybe this is better for simulations, machine learning, and things that do not need exact arithmetics. But by using analog, we have a much more complex system. So the question I'm trying to answer, and I do not have a definite answer, far from it, the question I'm trying to answer is, can we find a good intermediate representation that works nicely for analog? A few limitations about quantum computing. So first, I mentioned the word probabilistic. I'm going to mention it again. This makes things weird, at least if you come from classical computing, as I do. You are never quite sure what you're observing at the end. Was it just luck or bad luck that your experiment failed? Unclear. Also, if you look at how things work, at the moment we don't know how to do an if or a while or a jump or anything like a conditional control element in any kind of circuit, at least not without wasting most of our qubits. And also, in classical computing, there is a circuit called the flip-flop, which is very convenient because you can store one and then you can change it and store zero, etc. It's the basics of how you have memory on computers. To this day, as far as I know, there is nothing that looks remotely like that in quantum computing. So it's a very different universe. So in a way, I have a few friends who do low-level GPU programming. Those limitations are not completely dissimilar to what they have been dealing with for GPU programming, just weirder. On the other hand, their most applications, most interesting applications, are hybrid applications, which combine CPU,